great philosopher Thomas Wolfe once said that you can go home again. Which brings us to this occasion of Thanksgiving. A chance to, over a family meal, some turkey, some ham, some others, we could take an opportunity to realize just how much we were blessed over the course of the year. Tomorrow being Thanksgiving, no exception. This edition of the New Directions podcast is our annual Thanksgiving show. I'm going to share with you some Thanksgiving memories from the late great Charles Kuralt and Paul Harvey. A little Thanksgiving lesson from Mr. Harvey that we perhaps may not have known about. I'll share with you under my "But Yet I'm Thankful" subject a lot of personal thankfulness for this year. My best friend, friend of the show, Dan Leach, will be joining me, as will my folks, to share some Thanksgiving moments. And we'll close out the same way we normally do on a show like this, with a word of prayer. Our special edition of the New Directions podcast under the heading of Thanksgiving, and we'll get underway with all of that right after this. There are a lot of donut shops around, but there's one particular one that is local and really knows how to make them fresh every day. This is Terry Runyon from the podcast, here to share with you about Ray's Donuts. They make their donuts fresh every day. The coffee is absolutely fantastic, and instead of getting sugar from a packet, you get it from a sugar machine. You can wind in your own, put as much sugar or as little as possible. It's up to you, and you can make it the way you like it. They do a very big business. I deliver for them on DoorDash quite often, and I enjoy the product that they sell to everybody. It's a very good donut, and I very highly recommend it. Next time you're on Vivian Road, please stop by Ray's Donuts, and you will be very glad that you did. You can usually count on certain famous people in TV and radio to have their own stories related to holidays such as Thanksgiving. In the case of Paul Harvey, no exception.
The immigrants were getting restless. There was a significant immigrant population, even back there, even back then. You see, the people of Leiden had a motto in those days, a slogan not unlike our own. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, and so on. Their saying was, quote, Leiden refuses no honest people free entry, period. It was not quite as catchy as the generous entreaty inscribed on the pedestal of Lady Liberty, but it was effective, so effective that within months of its first utterance, 30% of the town of Leiden was foreign-born and foreign-speaking. But eventually, as I say, those immigrants grew restless. And the issue was tolerance, for the immigrants had come to Leiden in the first place, fleeing intolerance elsewhere in the world. In other words, these were the unwanted, the unappreciated, even the persecuted from other shores, seeking a society which would welcome them as they were, instead of insisting on conformity to local custom. But after only a little more than a decade in warm, welcoming, tolerant Leiden, the tolerated immigrants lost their own tolerance for their new home. Our children are becoming too assimilated, too Dutch, the ungrateful immigrants began complaining. Or, we aren't getting enough jobs, they complained. And predictably, when the Dutch natives of Leiden began hearing that sort of thing, they began rethinking their original policy of open doors and open arms. No, the Dutch refused to deport their malcontents, but their individual unofficial attitudes became less hospitable. And you can see where this is going. Many of the immigrants who only a half generation before had flocked to Leiden so gladly and so gratefully packed up and moved out to the New World. So, after the so-called pilgrims wore out their welcome in Leiden, Holland in 1620, a handful of them got into a shaky little boat, sailed across the sea to Plymouth Rock. But there was a stowaway aboard the Mayflower, and that unseen passenger was the culture of Leiden itself. For despite their relentless struggle for originality, the pilgrims brought with them to their new home in North America a collage of customs which Americans recognize and revere to this day. The civil registration of marriages, for example, which initiated the then unique concept of separation of church and state. Almost two centuries later, John Quincy Adams would cite the Mayflower Compact as the foundation for the United States Constitution. But did he know that the United Colonies, which the Pilgrims established in New England in 1643, the consolidation of semi-independent jurisdictions into one nation, that was based on a form of federal government that they had first observed in the Netherlands, the United Provinces. And one thing more, back in Leiden, there was a particular celebration. It was a day commemorating the end of the Spanish siege against the city in 1574. It was sort of like our 4th of July, but the focus of those Dutch festivities, instead of fireworks, was gratitude. Thanksgiving Day, it was called. Yes, I do mean to say that when you're giving thanks today, save some for the people of 17th century Leiden, whose own immigrants emigrated to our distant rocky shore, where eventually, however arduously, freedom was born. Now you know the rest of the story.
The one thing that is still clear, though, is that the world needs to turn back to God. It has gotten away from being one nation under God. Reba McEntire has those very words for us. One moment here. A little bit of a break.
We gotta give this world back to God. Come home safe. Do you lie there hoping?
what's very easy to do. And when I say that, I will level with you and say I'm guilty of this as well. Is when you take a look at this world we live in, we automatically say there's something wrong. We need to do our best, and I could put myself in there too, to try to make this world a better place. We haven't always done that. So, with that in mind, I'm bringing back a story followed by an update for you. The story has been a fixture on past Thanksgiving editions of this show. The late Charles Kuralt recorded this way back in 1978. It was on Thanksgiving Day. He talked about a typical family in Mississippi. The father and mother of the family were once slaves. And I'm not going to steal any thunder after that. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Kuralt and have you hear it again, and we'll follow after that with an update. Mr. Kuralt, take it away.
This is a long road. It took 9 children out of the cotton fields, out of poverty, out of Mississippi. But roads go both ways, and this Thanksgiving weekend, they all returned. This is about Thanksgiving and coming home. One after another, and from every corner of America, the cars turned into the yard. With much cheering and much hugging, the 9 children of Alex and Mary Chandler were coming home for their parents' 50th wedding anniversary. Gloria Chandler Coleman, Master of Arts, University of Missouri, a teacher in Kansas City, was home. All 9 children have memories of a sharecropper's cabin and nothing to wear and nothing to eat. All 9 are college graduates. Cooking the meal in the kitchen of the new house the children built for their parents 4 years ago is Bessie Chandler Beasley, B.A. Tuskegee, M.A. Central Michigan, dietitian at a veterans hospital, married to a Ph.D. And helping out, Princess Chandler Norman, M.A. Indiana University, a school teacher in Gary, Indiana. You'll meet them all. But first, I thought you ought to meet their parents. Alex Chandler remembers the time when he had a horse and a cow and tried to buy a mule and couldn't make the payments and lost the mule, the horse, and the cow. And about that time, Cleveland, the first son, decided he wanted to go to college.
We didn't have any money, and we went to town. He wanted to catch the bus to go on up there, so we went to town and borrowed $2.50 from her niece. And bought him a bus ticket to go up there. And when he got up there, that's all he had.
From that beginning, he became Dr. Cleveland Chandler, chairman of the economics department at Howard University. How did they do it, starting on one of the poorest farms in the poorest part of the poorest state in America?
We worked.
You picked cotton?
Yes, picked cotton. And pulled corn, stripped mill it, dug potatoes.
They all left. Luther left for the University of Omaha and went on to become the public service employment manager for Kansas City. He helped his younger brother James come to Omaha University too and go on to graduate work at Yale. And in his turn, James helped Herman in the blue suit there, who graduated from Morgan State and is a technical manager in Dallas. And they helped themselves. Fortson, a Baptist minister in Pueblo, Colorado, wanted to go to Morehouse College.
I chose Morehouse, and it was difficult for me not getting in, but I had to pick cotton all summer long to get the first month's rent and tuition.
So, helping themselves and helping one another, they all went away. And now, 50 years after life began for the Chandler family in a one-room shack in a cotton field, now, just as they were sitting down in the new house to the ham and turkey and sweet potatoes and cornbread and collard greens and 2 kinds of pie and 3 kinds of cake, now, Donald arrived, the youngest, who had driven with his family all the way down from Minneapolis. And now the Chandlers were all together again.
Our Father in heaven, we come at this moment giving thee thanks that thou have been so good and so kind.
Jesus.
We want to thank you, O God, for your love and for your Son. Thank you that you have provided for all of us through all of these years.
Remembering all those years of sharecropping and going hungry and working for a white man for 50 cents a day and worrying about his children's future. Remembering all that, Alex Chandler almost didn't get through this blessing.
Jesus' name.
And neither did the others. The Chandler family started with as near nothing as any family in America ever did. And so their Thanksgiving weekend might have been more thankful than most. Fly Away is the name of the old hymn. It is Mr. Chandler's favorite. His nine children flew away and made places for themselves in this country, and this weekend came home again. There probably are no lessons in any of this, but I know that in the future, whenever I hear that the family is a dying institution, I'll think of that. Whenever I hear anything in America is impossible, I'll think of that.
That, my friends, is what you call the classic Thanksgiving story. Charles Kuralt knew how to tell them. And I think this one might have been, if not my number one favorite, it's very, very, very close. That was legendary. Somebody had put together an update, and I want to see before I play this for you who this was. They just said it's an update on Kuralt's famous story about the Chandler family in Prairie, Mississippi, and that is all I found. I don't even know who the reporter is. I just want you to hear the update first of all.
Cut your meat in the strips and you put it in here and you turn the ham.
They don't make meat grinders like this anymore. In fact, they don't make meat grinders at all, or cross-cut saws, not like this one.
Been around here, this saw is probably as old as I am, and I'm over 65.
So James Chandler is saving his old things, and he's turning this trailer in back of the house into a family museum, filled with old things that he doesn't ever want to forget.
What I'm going to do, I'm just going to collect all the items I can, and say we're going to put the children, the grandchildren, and future generations of Chandler so they can remember where we came from and give them a sense of direction where they're going.
And then there are the letters. Of all the things James Chandler has saved, perhaps these will tell the family best where they have come and where they are going.
You, Mr. and Mrs. Chandler and family.
The letters came from all across the country, New York, Missouri, California. They're addressed to James Chandler's parents, Alex and Mary. The letter writers thank them. They praise them for sending their kids to school.
And together get each of the children through college.
Not that it was easy. The Chandlers were sharecroppers for most of their lives, but their determination was prodigious. All nine of the Chandler children went to college. All nine received advanced degrees.
With much cheering and much hugging, the nine children of Alex and Mary Chandler were coming home for their parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
The story reached CBS newsman Charles Kuralt, and Kuralt came to visit on the Chandler's 50th anniversary when all nine children came back home.
Our Father in heaven.
The story aired Thanksgiving 1978, and it touched millions of hearts. And the letters came to Prairie in boxloads.
I was so touched that I have never, ever responded to a news report and just had to drop you a line of whole lot of folks in Mississippi as well as nationwide identified with the struggle and the outpouring of letters and well wishes and comments following that Charles Carroll story just overwhelmed all of us.
That was nearly 30 years ago. The Chandler Nine have raised their own children now, and as you've probably guessed, they have continued the family tradition. 36 grandchildren and more than 36 degrees between them. Two generations removed from poverty, things could have been different for the Chandlers, but it didn't turn out that way. All because two determined people who left this earth a decade ago decided their children could. This isn't the end of the story. We'll just go back to the end of Carroll's classic 1978 piece, because for the Chandler family, this story is to be continued.
I don't know, again, who the broadcaster was for that, but he did a lot of research, and he did very, very well with it. I want to throw one song in before we go to kind of the main event song of this segment. I found myself, when we were talking about the family, thinking of this particular song, and I thought, right here and right now would be a good time to bring this song in. It is a gospel song. Don Moen recorded it. It is called God Will Make a Way. I'm going to go ahead and get this one in right now.
God will make a way. Take one.
Make a
He made a way for the Chandler family as well. I want to go ahead and move into the song that... I'm going to move into the song actually on the other side of this break. I'm up against a break, I think, right now, so we'll do that right here. God Made a Way, where there seemed to really be absolutely none. Don Moen right there with that classic song. We will get to the Chandler's favorite song, done by Nashville Jam, on the other side of this break. Would you like to have a look at the weird, wonderful, and obscure things around the Kansas City metro area? Well, let me tell you about a book that will give you a good place to start. This is Terry Runyon from the New Directions Podcast, here to tell you about Secret Kansas City, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure. Ann Nickendorf wrote this book. She is a local area writer who does a lot of freelance work for the Kansas City Star, KCUR, and Flatland Magazine. She has come up with areas around both Kansas and Missouri that not a lot of people knew about, and this particular broadcast only covered some. If you'd like a list of a lot more, go by your local rally house and pick up a copy of Secret Kansas City. You will learn things about the Kansas City area that you never knew existed. Secret Kansas City by Ann Nickendorf. Kansas City's Believe It or Not. I used to watch a show that was on the GAC network called The Edge of Country. It was hosted by New Zealand native Kylie Harris. They played a lot of what they called roots music, and I found a version of this particular gospel song, the one that was highlighted in the Chandler story, that I think would be the kind of song that you could clap along, or in my case, grab a guitar and sit in and pick along with them. This is a lot of fun. One of the singers in there I recognized from other times watching him. His name was Jim Lauderdale. He's the one who sang the first verse of this particular version. And there are other various musicians from around Nashville who get in on this. The group is called Nashville Jam, and the song is I'll Fly Away.
Oh, weary days and nights, I'll fly.
They are very badly underrated, and they are very good. The Nashville Jam with I'll Fly Away. Now for my yearly thoughts. It has been, in some cases, a very, very slow-moving year. Especially with regard to my dream of being a pastor. But yet I'm still thankful because I'm finally making some things happen. I'm down to one online class plus the one I'm taking now. And I think I'm finally going to be able to achieve something I've been dreaming of for a long, long time. I haven't had the opportunities to play music like I'd like. There haven't been the places to play, really. But yet I'm still thankful because I found a way to be able to put some of my music into what you hear from time to time on the podcast. And it's been a lot of fun. I wanted to be able to make some things happen in a very, very short period of time. like trying to save up enough money to get a house of our own. But that hasn't happened. Yet I'm still thankful. Because we have a roof over our heads, as my wife has tried to beat into my head 15 million times, I'm sure. But truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, she has a point. Which brings me to the yet I'm still thankful big part of it all. And that is that we have family that cares for us on both sides. And for that, I am very thankful. I'm thankful for Gayla especially. And I'm also thankful for this pussycat that's a few feet from me, Miss Misty over there. She is a very, very sweet girl. And I say that as she's sleeping. I missed. I love you, little one. And I think it's really going to be a very good Thanksgiving. And it's going to be one that is going to lead into a road to Christmas that's going to be unlike any other I have ever experienced at any time of my life. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We're still into Thanksgiving. And I'm looking forward to spending time with family tomorrow. Having the turkey, of course, the ham, the mashed potatoes, the hopefully cornbread. Hopefully some of what Charles Kuralt was talking about on the Chandler's table. But you never know. We'll just see what happens on that. A few years ago, 2008 to be exact, I discovered a song that I think would make a pretty good, a very good Thanksgiving song. Listen to the words of this. I'm bringing my friends back, the Oak Ridge Boys, and they have a song from their Boys Are Back CD that they had around 2008 and 9. This is one of my favorites off of that CD. I've even sung a solo part on it myself. Here are Joe, Dwayne, William, Lee, and Richard with Mama's Table.
Just knew he'd gone insane the day he called his name at Mama's table. And when we got down on our luck, it seemed like it held us up. You
got some faded spots and cracks and a couple of burns from candle wax. There's a memory in each scratch on Mama's table.
That, my friends, I'm sure would bring back a lot of memories, most especially at this Thanksgiving time. As I've been saying, Thanksgiving is all about family. And on the other side of this break, the plan will be to bring my family and my best friend and friend of the show in for some Thanksgiving talk. Have a little visit for the holiday. My father and mother, Ray and Betty Runyon, are going to join me, as is, my best friend and friend of the show, Dan Leach. The subject will be Thanksgiving. I'm good to get back with family and friends. We're going to do just that on the other side of this very break. They are on their farewell tour. They're heading into the Christmas portion. It'll end sometime next year. I will be following this tour as it continues across the country. Give you updates as we go along. And when the day does come that they do decide to hang it up, you're going to hear it here first. The Oak Ridge Boys Farewell Tour, to be covered very, very heavily right here on the New Directions podcast. Our get together with family has been postponed to a later date. So, instead of that, I have a very, very talented person lined up to sing a couple of songs for you, which I think are very appropriate for Thanksgiving. Here's Martina McBride. How about a double play? The medley and this one from 2010. And ladies and gentlemen, may we all listen to these words very, very closely. Here's Martina McBride with Anyway.
Spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so out of reach, and you know in my night come your way. Dream it anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. This world's gone crazy, and it's hard to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. Believe it anyway. You can love someone with all your heart for all the right reasons. In a moment they can choose to walk away.
Be right back.
There's a lot of darkness in the world, and the light that we're trying to shine is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Says in him there's no darkness at all. So this next simple little song is going to give you a good message if you're in need of it this evening. Very simple song with a simple message that tells you that if you're in the dark, if you've got some darkness in your life, or maybe the darkness of the world sometimes is getting you down, maybe it's something in your personal life, hey, listen, this song teaches you very simply, as Dwayne sings it, to hold on. Hold on to the morning. There will be light.
As a moon.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've wanted it. Next time on the podcast, you're going to get it. We're going to open The Road to Christmas. For the first part of the show, the next show, I'm working on getting Dan to get back to come back with me to talk about some things that have happened through the years to where Christmas might have changed, not quite for the best. Losing family and friends and things like that through the years, but we're going to talk about that a little more before we do open the road next time around. And I'll share with you some plans I'm going to have for this podcast with regard to The Road to Christmas. We'll get it all open and get it started next time right here on the New Directions podcast. I promised you a prayer. I'm here to deliver. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for the season of Thanksgiving. This is not a very good world to live in right now, but help us to see past that to being more thankful for the things that we do have in our lives, like our family, our friends, and chances to really be among those that we do love. Help us to take time today to do just that. Spend the time with family. Help us to renew ourselves for this upcoming Christmas season by taking the time for the people that do matter most. We ask your blessing over family and friends who are going to be gathering today. And we pray traveling mercies for those who may still be en route. And Lord, above all, more than any other time, we dedicate this Thanksgiving Day to you. May you find us prayerful and thankful. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's going to wind things up for this edition of the New Directions podcast. Thank you for being with me as always. See you next week when the road will open up. The song needs no introduction. Gentlemen, take it away.